This Friday, April 26th and Saturday, April 27th, NBA Player Props Edition of the NBA Propcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today at underdogfantasy.com using promo code NBASGPN to get a 100% deposit match. Plus, we're also brought to you by our NFL Draft Bingo. Play NFL Draft Bingo for a chance to win and score a $100 SGPN gift card exclusively on the SGPN app.
And Peyton the shot, the ground down, bailed. He missed the catch, and he gets in for the touchdown. The catch is made by Calvin Ridley.
Wilson, as he throws deep.
Welcome, everyone, to the Propcast, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It's Thursday, April 25th, here to get into our player props for the Friday and Saturday games. Thought we'd get this one out early for you guys. I know schedules are a little tough on Friday for both myself and Chris here, but we found a perfect time here to get this out for you guys for the Friday and Saturday games for the NBA playoffs. So joining me, as usual, to help me break it all down with our NBA player props, got my guy here with me. It's Crispy Cap. And Chris, what's going on, my man? How you doing this Thursday afternoon?
What's up? You know, I'm excited, man. We finally got the game threes. We got some teams that are in some desperation spots, and typically for bettors, you know, we just got to figure out if we trust them or not. You know, so you know, game one and twos are over, and I think it's some really good spots on the board, man. I'm excited to be here with you as always. Kind of getting to these player props, man, and I think it's some good games ahead as well. So I'm excited to bet them, excited to watch them. The weekend has come. It's about to be a good time, you know.
100%, man. Again, game three's going off on starting on Thursday as well. If you haven't gotten a chance to listen to that, there's still time. We covered the Wednesday and Thursday games. We have a few player props for the Thursday night games as well. So make sure you guys check that prop cast out. As well, of course, here for the Friday and Saturday games. And Chris, like you mentioned, game threes are here. And I think we talked about this yesterday and briefly touched on it, was that the superstars are really showing up for these teams like the Lakers, the Philadelphia 76ers as well. I mean, but in particular, it's very difficult to find out and handicap which role player and supporting cast member for those guys and those respective teams are going to show up on a given night. And it's just been really the inconsistencies that's really put those, you know, particular teams. I know the Sixers play on Thursday night, but and also the Lakers, but they haven't really been able to get much support from those starting, the supporting cast and the role players around those superstars. I don't think we can say that much about the games that are happening on Friday and Saturday, in particular, more so on Friday with the Dallas Mavericks and the LA Clippers, and then obviously the T-Wolves and the Phoenix Suns, and then the Bucks and the Pacers as well. It'll be interesting to see, Chris, if Giannis does return for this game for the Milwaukee Bucks, because again, they did lose game two at home. Right now it's 1-1 heading to Indiana in this game. And then we also have another series between the Dallas Mavericks and the LA Clippers, who are also tied 1-1 heading back to Dallas. Also did see an injury note here for the Dallas Mavericks that Tim Hardaway Jr. is going to be out for this game three with an ankle injury as well. So we'll see who steps up into that starting lineup and is able to provide that support to Kyrie or Luka, or is it just going to continue being the Luka and Kyrie show? So, you know, we talked about this on the NBA pod as well, that we know, and I think we talked about this yesterday as well, that those superstar player numbers are going to be a little bit more inflated than we've seen during the regular season because they have to show out for a lot of these games here. But Chris, I mean, I think your guess is as good as mine on who we don't know on who that starting player is going to be that's going to support the stars of their respective teams.
Yeah, I mean, if I think it's a perfect segue to a lot of my player props here today. Role players play better at home. You know, if I got a lot of them, they're locked and loaded, ready to go. But yeah, you know, it's definitely going to be you know, some guys that's going to have to step up. You take a look at that game log, you know, the box score for, you know, the Dallas Mavericks and the Clippers. The Clippers, well, I should say the Dallas Mavericks really won the game with their defense. They held the Clippers to you know, the 26.7% shooting from the three-point line, 36.8% shooting for the full game, and held them to 93 points. That's the Dallas team that I bet on in game one that lost the game. And for Dallas, it was the heavy lifters, like you said, you know, Luka 11 for 26 with 32 points, and Kyrie shot the ball 18 times to get 23 points as well. So, you know, of course, Luka's still, you know, trying to facilitate. He did have 9 assists, but it's those guys, you know, like you said, the superstars, because the role players don't play as well, specifically on the road. But now that they're back home, it's, you know, interesting to see, you know, Dante Exum will get his chance. I know, you know, guys like Derek Lively and Maxi Kleber off the bench. Maybe even Morris gets into the game. He hasn't played, I don't think, in the playoffs yet. But, yeah, I got a guy, you know, I got a guy that I think is going to contribute and help this team out a lot. And I'll save it for when we get into the player props here.
Yeah, let's get into it, man. Let's kick it off with our player prop, first round of player props here. Man, what do you got? Where are you going?
So let's just go to that game specifically, the one that we're talking about. And I'm looking at PJ Washington, him, you know. I didn't see the news, but I'm glad you mentioned it. I know Tim Hardaway Jr. only played 6 minutes in that game. But I'm looking at PJ Washington. His points prop is 11.5, him, you know. And, you know, just so minus 120. Best odds you can get is over on FanDuel right now. But this is minus one. You know, it's only available on FanDuel. I think it's actually going to drop tomorrow on most books at 12.5, if I'm being honest. So get in while you can right now if you want it. Let's talk about PJ Washington's volume here, you know. Game one, 37 minutes. Game two, 35 minutes. You mentioned Tim Hardaway Jr., who was in the running for, you know, six man of the year up until he got injured late into the season, right? We know how much his offense is needed for this game. So that's more usage for a guy like PJ Washington, a guy that can stretch the floor, a guy that can knock down some outside shots. So that's bench points that'll be missing. I think that, you know, contributes to PJ Washington, you know, having to be a little more effective on the offensive end. So now let's talk about the shot volume here. You know, he shot 5 for 10 in game two, shot 4 for 10 in game one. And we're talking about a points prop that's at 11.5. So I almost need a point per shot attempt here. You know, if the shots have been there, he just got to be able to knock them down. Yep. 18 in game two, flew over the number. In game one, he had 11, so he missed about a hook here. We know that Luka and Kyrie still going to garner all the attention here. Like, Tyronn Lue will be happy with P.J. Washington beating him and it not being Kyrie and Luka here, especially with it being P.J. Washington's first home, you know, playoff game in his career, right? Like, this is a big step-up spot for him. And I mentioned it already, the theme of the show here, you know, is role players playing better at home. I like P.J. Washington over 11.5 points here.
Do you see a 3-point prop for him, Chris?
1.5, you know, if I was looking at that too.
What's the number? What's the vig on it?
Let me pull it up for you real quick. 1 second here, you know, because I was looking at this. I was looking at this as well. I was thinking the same thing.
And this was the one that I wanted to give out here as my player prop.
So he is, let me find it, 1.5. It's juice, minus 140, but it's going to get worse.
Yeah. So, I'll co-sign that with you here with PJ Washington 3, sir. And it's everything that you mentioned, that number one, Kyrie and Luka are going to garner that attention, right? And if you just take a look at the shot volume that PJ Washington has gotten, I want to say 40% or more of his shot attempts from the floor are coming from the three-point line, right? The first two games, 10 shot attempts from the floor, 7 of those 10, 70% came from the three-point line. He made 2. Let's go back to game 2 where they won. 10 shot attempts from the floor. 4 of those 10 shots came from the three-point line, 40%. So he made 3 in game 2 there, and now you're going back home where, like you mentioned, first home game for PJ Washington since he got traded to the Dallas Mavericks. The minutes are going to be there. You mentioned the shot volume is going to be out there as well. So I think it's correlated for both of us here. You're taking the points prop over. I can 100% co-sign that. I'm willing to lay the vig here. Minus 140 here. I think it gets up to minus 150 range, minus 160 when the money starts coming in on PJ Washington threes here. So I'll take the over 1.5 here for PJ Washington for his three-point prop here. So again, like you mentioned, right? No Tim Hardaway Jr. And that's going to just give more minutes for a guy like PJ Washington, maybe Dante Exum as well. That's another guy I wanted to look at. But since we're recording a little bit earlier, that points prop isn't just out yet. They only have the starters and the star players out right now. as far as props for this game. But I'm 100% with you here on PJ Washington here for the Dallas Mavericks. So we'll chalk that up as player prop number one for myself and Chris here for the game three between the Dallas Mavericks and the LA Clippers. All right, guys, joining us in the chat as well, RC in there, UCapper. Make sure you guys give him a follow and check out his website as well, man. Absolutely just great stuff. One-stop shop, honestly, for all your handicapping needs. I honestly use it a ton, and it just makes it so easy. My guy Mitch in there as well. So appreciate our guys joining us in the chat there. RC pointing out PJPRA. Yeah, I think that could be worth a look as well. He's asking about Gafford. And I did see an injury note for him, Chris, that he's dealing, I think, with a back issue. I don't think he moves a needle a whole lot for this Mavericks team, especially defensively, because he's always in foul trouble. And I think that it's more now Derek Lively that's going to begin the minutes. And he's also another guy that's getting into foul trouble as well. And we've seen what Zubac did, especially in game one, Chris. But how do you think this really affects the rotation or even the total in this game if they're going to be without Daniel Gafford in this game, if that makes a difference to you at all?
I'm not sure that it does from one standpoint. The my outlook on Daniel Gafford not being available, you know, is him and Kleber are two different players, of course, right? Yeah. Like, I think, you know, Kleber is a much stronger player. So you kind of needed him to be a part of the rotation a tad bit with what Zubac was able to do in game one. But then we also got to remember that Kawhi wasn't available in game one, right? So, yeah. You know, game plan for Coach Lou and the rest of the team was to, all right, let's see if we can take advantage down low. And Zubac did that. But, you know, you got to, you know, a guy like Kleber that stretches the floor a little bit more. He's a solid defender. I remember him playing really, really well against the Golden State Warriors in the playoffs a few years ago. So I think I'm not sure what impact it has specifically, but I do know that, you know, there'll be less, you know, lobs to the rim, of course, because yeah. Kleber is not a rim running guy, while Daniel Gafford, of course, is. And Daniel Gafford can't stretch the floor. He's taking probably 90% of his shots right at the rim, whereas Maxi Kleber can stretch the floor. And a big part of what Dallas likes to do is a lot of pick and pop. So I think it would lean a little bit more towards a over. They both can score, but they score in very different ways. And if you go back and look at Dallas in the last game, in game two, 33 of their 76 shot attempts actually came from the three-point line. They shot 14 for 33 for 42.4%. And Kleber shot three of those. He went 2 for 3 from the three-point line. So kind of, you know, bodes well with what we're talking about. Without Gafford in there, you would think Lively would play, you know, a lot more minutes as he kind of ramps up and, you know, gets back in the game form. I think this is only what this will be his third game back. He's played in all the playoff games, but missed the last few. So yeah, I think it has more of an impact on probably on the total. And I think I would agree with RC here.
Yeah. I think that, I also think it benefits the Clippers here as well, because Derek Lively in his rookie year, he's been in a lot of foul trouble. He picks him up quickly, and that just opens up a lot of opportunities around the basket for this Dallas Mavericks team. But I think this is going to be a game where we do see the 3-point shooting breakout for this Dallas Mavericks team, because for whatever reason, I mean, again, rural players tend to play better at home, you know, you're used to the rim, the arena, whatever the case might be, but I think this is going to be a good opportunity here for the Mavericks offense to really break out in this game here. All right, Chris, before we get into our second round of player props here for the Friday and Saturday games, let me tell everybody about our friends over at Underdog Fantasy. The NBA playoffs are officially here, and our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, wants to make it a lot more interesting. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Playing their pick'em game is as simple as selecting higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. Make entries of all basketball or mix and match across your other favorite sports, and you can win up to 100 times your money, and it's really a lot of fun to do so. Underdog is available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and even Canada. New customers get a pick'em special in the lobby whenever they do sign up. And Underdog will also be running a ton of different promos, bonus cash, airdrop specials, giveaways, and much more throughout the NBA playoffs. So make sure to follow at Underdog Picks on Twitter to keep an eye out. And Underdog, like I mentioned, they're available in 30-plus states, including California and Texas. They also just launched Champions, their player versus player format in Florida. So again, make sure to sign up with our promo code NBASGPN and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you guys use our promo code NBASGPN. All right, Chris, let's keep it rolling here, my man. Let's go over to player prop number two, man. What do you got?
So I want to go now. I want to go to the Bucks and the Pacers game, Hemenov. And I mentioned the theme for the show being role players play better at home. TJ McConnell is the next guy I'm going after, Hemenov. His points prop is sitting at 7.5 right now. Little vig at minus 120, but I do think that this is probably going to end up getting to 8.5 as well. A couple reasons I like TJ here. You know, first of all, in game one, you go through and look at the box score. He had 10 points in game one, but he did come back down to earth. I guess you could say come back down to earth. I wouldn't even say that. Yeah, he came back down. He had 6 points in game two, but he only shot the ball 6 times. You look at him versus the Bucks this season, and he's taken at least 7 shot attempts and shot above 44% in each one of the games outside of game two. And we know that these two teams have matched up, you know, plenty of times throughout the regular season. TJ McConnell is the leader of the best bench in the NBA. Him, you know, this Indiana Pacers bench scores more points than any other team, just like the Indiana Pacers overall score more points than any team in the NBA. So with TJ McConnell being back home, I think that, you know, is a boost of energy for him. He's over the 7.5 number in 3 of his 4 games versus the Milwaukee Bucks this season. And I think he gets a favorable matchup as well. Coach Glenn Rivers, shout out to Ski. Coach Glenn has inserted Patrick Beverly into the starting lineup. And Malik Beasley is now coming off the bench. So I think he gets a much better matchup against Malik Beasley in that second unit. And I never really like go back and look at, you know, the numbers as far as like how many times the players have hit this, you know, in certain times. Like, I don't take that too much of a handicap. I just think TJ McConnell's offense is going to be needed. But when I did check it, Domino, I just so happened to look at it. TJ McConnell has actually gone over 7.5 points in 19 straight games dating back throughout the regular season until he went under in game two. So I'll take the 18 for 19 hit rate to go along with it. But TJ McConnell, over 7.5 points here, you know, favorable matchup back at home. Expect the Indiana, you know, that place to be rocking. Similar to what we saw in the in-season tournament games, you know, where they play really, really good basketball. And the Bucks don't perform as well on the road. So I'll take TJ McConnell over 7.5 points here, you know, expecting this line to move as well.
Couldn't talk you off. He just brings that energy off of the bench for this Pacers team. I think that everybody knows. I mean, it's not only been with the Pacers, but also all the other teams that he has played for, you know, when he was with the Sixers. And he's just a pest, man. And that's like the type of guy you want on your team coming off of the bench, because again, he's a high IQ player. He gets the offense going for you. And if, you know, the shot clock's winding down, he's going to, you know, pull something out of his ass and then get score for you. So the shot volume, like you mentioned, has been there for a guy like TJ McConnell. And he makes the most of his opportunity. I know the minutes haven't been significantly there for him in the first two games against the Bucks here, but I think being back at home and, you know, a place where, like we mentioned, role players tend to play better. He's been good. And again, like you mentioned, he's had at least double digit scoring games prior to the game two against the, Milwaukee Bucks. And it's crazy to see like the amount of minutes that he's playing. He's almost matching the number of shot attempts in that span as well, falling just a little bit short. But I think that when he's out there, like I mentioned, he's making the most of his opportunity. So definitely couldn't talk you off of TJ McConnell here for this game. All right, for my next player prop here, Chris, I'm going to go over to that game I'm going to stay in the same game here between the Bucks and the Pacers. Looking at Bobby Portis, looking at his rebounding prop, this number probably going to come out at 11.5 for Bobby Portis. And I don't think that Giannis ends up playing in this game. I think he would be back for game 4 at the earliest, in my opinion. But Bobby Portis has filled in very, very nicely for this Milwaukee Bucks team in the absence of a guy like Giannis. And especially on the road here, I think they'll need his defensive intensity, his ability to rebound. I think this is the opportunity for him. This number is more than likely going to come out at 11.5 for Bobby Portis, because that was the number in game one and game two. I know he's gone under this number in the last two games, was at 11 rebounds exactly. But I think that this game may slow down a little bit here in Indiana, especially in the second half. And I know Indiana has been one of those teams that like that get up and down the floor. They've been one of the more offensive efficient teams. But it also goes back to the fact that the Indiana Pacers don't really have that inside presence, right? Miles Turner's not that traditional big man that you want that should be rebounding the basketball for you, something similar to like Jaren Jackson Jr., another big, but guys that like to shoot the three-point ball. They can get the block shot, but they just haven't been very good at rebounding the basketball. But I do think that it's an opportunity for Bobby Portis. Number one, I know that he's going to get the minutes. He's going to play at least a minimum of 30 minutes for the Milwaukee Bucks. I think this game will be closer than, you know, game two was, and frankly, game one was as well. Because if it is a closer matchup and a closer game, I think that minutes probably ticks up to maybe anywhere from 32 to 35 minutes for a guy like Bobby Portis. So in the first two games for the series, like I mentioned, 11 rebounds each in those two games. But if he just plays a couple more minutes and the game is a little bit closer, I think he definitely gets over this number. I think this one number, it does come out. It'll be 11.5, maybe around even money or some plus money odds. If it's at 10.5, great. Maybe a little bit of big there. But I'm comfortable at 11.5, despite him not getting over this number in the last two games. But it's just me thinking that, hey, this game is going to be a lot more closer in game three in Indiana. And that he's going to play a little bit more minutes for this Milwaukee Bucks team here, Chris. So give me Bobby Portis over on his rebounding prop for game three between the Pacers and the Bucks.
Yeah, this makes a ton of sense. I think the biggest point that you made is that Giannis is, we don't expect Giannis to be a part of this game. And who else is going to be out there to rebound the basketball? I think when I think about, the way the Pacers run their offense, it's a lot of bringing Brook Lopez out on the perimeter to get him stretched away from the floor, because you typically have him guarding Miles Turner, right? Which pulls him out of the paint, which leaves all of the rebound opportunities for a guy like like Bobby Portis. So as long as the Pacers are missing shots and taking a ton of shots, and the Bucks can, impact them from being able to shoot the basketball, I think Bobby Portis has a pretty big game. And he also called him out for being front running. So I don't think we're going to see Bobby Portis, shy away from any kind of, owning of his words. And I think he's going to put his words behind his play as well. So I think it's a good look on Bobby Portis over his rebounds here,
All right. Before we get over to our third player props here, and before we get into honorable mentions, let me tell you guys about the newest sponsor over on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. That's going to be the football contest proxy. Look, if you're thinking of entering the Circa Survivor or Circa Millions for this upcoming NFL season, the best handicapping contest in the world, but you don't live in Nevada, it's not a problem. All you got to do is hire a proxy, and it's super easy to submit them, the picks to them for yourself each week and for your chance to win millions. Sign up in Las Vegas. You got to make that trip out to get registered in person. Also meet up with your proxy and get them to submit your picks to your proxy. We've partnered up with the gold standard of proxies over at footballcontestproxy.com. Plus, if you use promo code SGP at checkout, you'll save $50 off the proxy fees. That's right. Just go to footballcontestproxy.com. That's footballcontestproxy.com. Promo code SGP to get $50 off. All right, Chris, let's continue here, man. Let's get into player prop number three. What do you got for the people?
So player prop number three, I'm actually going back to the Dallas game, Dallas and in Los Angeles, the Clippers. And I'm taking a role player, but I'm taking one from the opposite team. I'm actually looking at Norman Powell here, And his three-point prop is 1.5. I like that number for Norman Powell. It's not available at all books, but I see it at BetMGM. They got it without a lot of vig at all, just a minus 110 there. And this comes down to a few things for me, First of all, I think Dallas can be vulnerable to giving up three-pointers, which we've seen. We saw that in game one where we saw the Clippers shoot 18 for 36, I think, from the three-point line, going 50% in that game. And I was just going through and kind of looking at Norman Powell. He has not played well in the first couple games. He came out at the end of game one and said that, he thought that the Dallas Mavericks defense was trying to prioritize, him being away from the three-point line, getting them off the three-point line. They did a really good job of doing that. He's a guy, though, you know, that I kind of trust on the road here. 2 for 4 in his last game, so he got up 4 of them. Only 1 for 2 in the game before. But you go through, and I just went back and looked at some of his road splits, and I remember Norm Powell playing, you know, really big on the road. So you go to the game in Phoenix, he shot 2 for 4 from three-point line. You go to the game in Sacramento, he shot 3 for 4 from the three-point line. These are the most recent road games. In Charlotte, 2 for 5 from the three-point line. In New Orleans, 2 for 6. In Chicago, 3 for 6. So I just trust him a little bit more on the road. I mean, I think that the Clippers scoring 93 points will prioritize guys like Norman Powell. Kawhi being back in the lineup now, you know, adds more attention to him and Paul George, of course. So, I mean, we got willing passers on this team with James Harden and Paul George and Kawhi. So I think those guys garnered attention. And a guy like Norman Powell, who still played 26 and 30 minutes through the first two games, shows up for this team on the road here. You know, if I like Norman Powell to go over his 1.5 three-point props, because I think that Coach Ty Lue trusts him. Like I said, I think he'll get the minutes, as I kind of talked about already. And he shoots the ball well on the road. So give me Norman Powell to go over his 1.5 three-point makes here.
Something similar to what we talked about with PJ Washington, right? That Chris Paul. Where's my mind at? Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, James Harden. Those guys are going to get the attention when it comes to the offensive side of the basketball. And that opens up the opportunities for guys like you mentioned, Norman Powell, Terrence Mann, Amir Coffey, who's been absolutely fantastic for this Clippers team as well. So again, and what really propels, in my eyes, teams to win games in advance is going to be those games where the role players are going to step up. And I think Norman Powell is a guy that's games translates from one gym to another, because he can shoot the leather off of the ball. That's how great of a shooter that he is, and he can contribute to this team. So, yeah, I'm right there with you on Norman Powell, man. I couldn't talk you off prop here for Norman Powell. Last one I'll throw out here before we do it again to honorable mentions here, Chris. I'm staying on the Clippers side there as well. James Harden assist over 7.5. It's a little bit juice at -135. He's had 8 assists in each of the first two games for the LA Clippers. He's played very well. He had a great game one, 28 points, eight dimes. Game two, shot a little bit inconsistently or inefficiently, I should say. 22 points, hit 8 dimes in that game. I know there was probably an emphasis to getting Kawhi Leonard going, and it may take a little bit more for Kawhi Leonard to kind of get the rust off after missing, 9 or 10 straight games for this Clippers team. But we know that the offense is going to be initiated by James Harden. He's developed a great chemistry on the court with Zubat. He does a great job of getting down to the post and James Harden finding him and getting those easy baskets and assists for both of those guys respectively. But I also it also goes into the fact that you mentioned that Norman Powell and the other shooters, frankly, are going to get their opportunities. And hopefully those assists are coming from a guy like James Harden. So I know the minutes are going to be there for James Harden. He's surrounded by the offensive talent. He's done in both games. I know it's won by the hook, but I think that continues here. I think this game might be more of a higher scoring game that we've seen than the first two games, at least, between these two squads. But I'm going to go with James Harden over 7.5 assists in this game here, Chris.
Yeah, hard to face something that it consistently hits, you know, and the opportunities will be there, right? Like, when I think about the Clippers, who else really has the ball in their hands and they're doing a lot of playmaking, you know, if it's really just James Harden, right? A lot of pick and roll between him and Zubac. You step up, he throws the lob to Zubac. You help over, he finds the wide open shooter, and hopefully that's Norm Powell. So, makes a ton of sense here. I mean, off that, you know, the Clippers, they struggled in game one, you know, being able to stop James Harden. And I do think that we see more facilitated James Harden. Like, I think game one, as far as his scoring, was an outlier, but I do expect him to continue to be a facilitator here as the series moves on. So makes a lot of sense to me, you know, James Harden over his 7.5 assists.
7.5. Yeah. It was a number for him.
I like
it. Another injury note that just came across: Chris Middleton did not practice on Thursday. It's officially listed as questionable game on Friday with an ankle injury. Yeah. So more injury concerns there for the Milwaukee Bucks there. But all right, Chris, so that's 3 player props each from you and I. Let's get into our honorable mentions here, man. Anything that you want to throw out there that you are thinking about getting to the window for but just haven't pulled the plug yet?
Yeah, you know what I got. So first one is I really want to look at some turnover props. The guys who have the ball in their hands a lot. I see Anthony Edwards is high though. It's 3.5. I don't know if he's gonna have 4 turnovers, but I do expect him to have the ball in his hands a lot. And desperation spot, of course, for the Phoenix Suns coming back home. I think they'll play their best version of defense as the Minnesota Timberwolves have against them as well. So wanted to look at him. I see Westbrook listed at 1.5 as well. You know, he can be a little lackadaisical with the basketball at times. He had a 4 turnover game in game 1. But I haven't pulled the trigger on any of those. I got a question for you. I want to take this time and ask you a question. Question for you is, of the big three that the Minnesota Timberwolves have, who goes over their points prop with the sticky defense that this Minnesota Timberwolves team has been playing? Is it Devin Booker? Is it Kevin Durant?
The big three for Phoenix, man.
For Phoenix, I'm sorry. Yeah, for Phoenix.
Yeah,
who goes over, who has that day? Because I wanted to take Devin Booker 3-point prop that's sitting at 2.5 right now. Plus 102, yeah. I saw.
And my first thought is Devin Booker. Just because he's just been really good at home for this Phoenix Suns team. And you take a look. And I wanted to get there with Devin Booker, and that's why I'm glad you brought up Devin Booker, because he was going to be my honorable mention here as well. That all three, the big three in Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, and Devin Booker all went under their points prop in game 2. And like, we know that the minutes are going to be there for all three of those guys, right? I think all three of those guys, I want to say, played 40 plus minutes in game 2, and they only, mustered 93 total points. 42 minutes each for Beal, Booker, 41 for Kevin Durant. And it's just difficult to know on a given night who's going to get the shot volume, because you have now Bradley Beal that's healthy, right? Because he's going to get up his shot attempts as well. And those guys right there are averaging 13 attempts, 16 attempts, 17 attempts. So it's just about who's going to be the most efficient guy. My inclination would be Devin Booker there, Chris. I want to say, and I haven't got to watch a whole heck of a lot of this series. Have you seen who Jaden McDaniels has been matched up on? Has it been Kevin Durant or has it been Devin Booker?
Yeah, he's been on Kevin Durant. And it's been Bradley Beal mostly getting guarded by Anthony Edwards. And they switch it up, a cross match. The thing about that Timberwolves team, I think I read this yesterday somewhere, is that their game plan and what's been effective for them is that they aren't switching. Like, they aren't switching. Yeah. Well, they will switch, but I meant to say they're not doubling. Like, if Devin Booker is going off, like, all right, good job, Devin Booker. If Kevin Durant's going off, they're like, good job. Like, but they're not switching. I mean, they're not doubling at all. They're just if you get beat 1-on-1, they just say, you know what, don't let it happen again. And I think that's been what's helpful for Chris Finch and his team, is because now you get Phoenix. I mean, they're playing 1-on-1 basketball for the most part. You know, a lot of the screens, and I mean, we see the offense, team. Just a jump shot shooting team that doesn't really want to score, and those jump shots have not been falling. So, yeah. Even with that, though, like you said, if Devin Booker, 42 minutes, he didn't even shoot necessarily the worst. He just couldn't make a 3-pointer, 1-for-6. Yeah. But 6-for-13 is not, the worst percentage. 46% is not too bad at all. And I think he's listed at 25.5 him, I just thought that was pretty interesting, man.
And the interesting part, just to expand on that, is I want to say it was 23.5 or 24.5 in game 2. He didn't hit it, but this number's up a full point for game 3. So I think the books are kind of thinking what we're thinking, that Devin Booker is going to be the guy to have to go off if Jaden McDaniels is matched up on Kevin Durant and you have Anthony Edwards on Bradley Beal. So I just want to see more of a shot volume increase. We know he's going to get to the free throw line. It's just about being a little bit more efficient, a little bit of more shot volume for a guy like Devin Booker. So yeah, I think I would vote for Devin Booker here to be that guy for this Phoenix Suns team going into game 3 at home. So I'm glad you brought that one up, because I was thinking about him too. It just kind of threw me off that his number went up a 2 points, actually, because I see 26.5 right now over on DraftKings when it was at around 23.5, 24.5 for game 2, and he just didn't get there. So yeah, that's one to consider. Chris, saying in that same game, this is a player that, I'll mention, but I can't get to the window with, because he should be dominating on the glass, and that is Rudy Gobert. I mean, we saw 16 rebounds in game one and then came down to earth a little bit in game two with only 9 rebounds. But I'd be curious to see if they deploy the same, I mean, the same offensive strategy, what they should, because it's worked for them in the first two games here, Chris, for the Minnesota Timberwolves. And Rudy Gobert's point prop is at 13.5. He's going to get those lobs. He's going to get those easy putback baskets around the rim. Just let's not make sure he's a point guard on a fast break, thinking he's Magic Johnson out there. But he's had, 18 points and 14 points in the first two games of the series. And it's just been easy basketball. He also gets to the free throw line as well, right? The first two games, he's had 14 attempts combined. He's knocked down 6 of those 7 attempts in both of those first two games. So I think this would be a spot here for Rudy Gobert, maybe to get his points and look at his points proper. That's one more I wanted to mention there. I don't know if you had any thoughts on that one, but I think Rudy Gobert has been really an important part of this offense for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah, he's a guy, you know, that I laugh at a lot of the times because, you know, for him to be so good, so strong and physical and, you know, athletic, he some of the basketball IQ stuff is a little worrisome, you know, if you're a Timberwolves fan at times. But, you know, you got to tip your hat to him. You know, this guy's been playing really, really good basketball throughout the first couple games in the postseason. Like you said, you know, grabbing those rebounds, making pretty smart plays and dominating the paint. Like he's not a matchup that Nurkic really wants to see too often. And it's not like they're going to give him the ball and let him go to work on the block, but he's involved in the pick and roll a lot of the times with Mike Conley. You know, they trying to, you know, do such a good job on slowing down on Anthony Edwards that, you know, they kind of get lost in the sauce at times, you know? So I do think that, you know, that there's a potential for Rudy Gobert to run it back and play another really, really, really strong game in what I would call a favorable matchup for him here.
All right. You got any other honorable mentions you want to throw out?
I just wanted to look at something real quick. You know, I went back and looked at that Phoenix Suns game last year. Granted, two totally different teams, right? Like this Phoenix Suns team and that Phoenix Suns team is different. It's no Aiden out there and different opponent as well. I went back and looked at them against the Denver Nuggets last year, you know, when they were down 0-2 back against the wall and they came home. And I remember them winning that game. Kevin Durant had 39 points, 12. He was shot 12 for 31 from the field. Only 1 for 5 from the three-point line. But our boy, who are we talking about? Devin Booker had 47 in that game, you know. Okay. 47 and went 5 for 8 from the three-point line. I just kind of feel like I know that they're a much better defensive team than Denver was last year, you know, especially individual defenders. But, Devin Booker is not going to have a big game in this one. You know, if I'm not quite sure that they're going to be able to get over the hump. So I think even with his points prop, you know, going up a little bit, I think the three prop and the points are something I'm probably going to get there with as well. You know, if I think we got to look at Booker in this one.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, right? I think even with Grayson Allen dealing with the ankle injury, I mean, how much can you really rely on a guy like Eric Gordon, Royce O'Neal? I mean, this is a game where both Kevin Durant and Devin Booker and Bradley Beal, they're going to have to play 42, 43, 44 minutes in this game if they want to get the victory here. So, I think Devin Booker and even Kevin Durant, who knows? I think those guys may be the guys here just based on shot volume and the minutes that they are going to play in this game. All right, Chris, let's wrap it up here with best bets for the Friday and Saturday games here, man. Where are you going with your best bet?
I think I'm going back to the top. You know, I'm looking at PJ Washington, man. I like this spot for him a little bit more than everybody else sitting at 11.5 right now. Like I said, the volume's been there. The minutes have been there, 37 and 35. No Tim Hardaway Jr. Like you mentioned already, you know, this line is going to move. I do think it's going to move. And I like Tim Hardaway Jr. I'm sorry. I like PJ Washington to go over his 11.5 points to contribute, help my guy Luka, help my guy Kyrie out. You know, role players play better at home. Give me PJ Washington over 11.5 points.
Yeah. Couldn't talk you off of that one. Glad you're on that one. You know, just correlated with my over 1.5 three pointers there for PJ Washington. I'm going to go with James Harden. I like the assist number here at 7.5. It's a little bit juice at -135. I do expect it to move here, but expect a better offensive performance from both teams, honestly. I think this game may be a sneaky shootout, or at least get over the total. With Kawhi Leonard back, you know, he maybe was able to shake some of that rust off after missing, you know, 10 straight games. But I think that, you know, I mentioned that the chemistry that him and Zubac have developed has been, I think, a key to the success for this Clippers team down the stretch. And for Zubac having that success as well. And again, we talked about the three-point shooting that's also available on this team for this Clippers team, whether it is even a guy like Paul George or Amir Coffey or Terrence Mann, Norman Powell, like you mentioned there as well. So I'll take James Harden over 7.5 assists as my best bet for the Friday night card between those two teams. All right, that's going to wrap it up, Chris, here for our NBA PropCast for the Friday and Saturday games. Glad we were able to get this out to our listeners early. Hopefully they can beat some of the numbers that we did put out when the books have them up here. Maybe not so much paying attention to the Friday and Saturday games with games going off on Thursday, but good opportunity for you to get ahead of the VIG, get ahead of the lines that they do move. So hopefully we gave you out some best bet winners here for this card. Chris, anything else you want to mention before we get out of here?
No, that's it, man. Enjoy the games. Enjoy the weekend. Hopefully me and Munoz can get back together next week as the playoffs continue and give out some more winners. I think I went 1-1 on the player props that I liked the most yesterday with Jason Tatum not quite getting there and Chet Holmgren getting there pretty easily. So hopefully we can keep it going, Munoz. Give out some winners. Definitely subscribe to the pod if you guys are just listening without subscribing. And we always ask you guys to leave us a review as well. We always say five star. Be greatly appreciated. And bet responsibly. Best of luck. And we'll catch you guys next week.
Yeah, 100%. We'll be back next week for sure as the NBA playoffs continue to roll on. We'll be probably in the middle of round one and maybe round two starting. So definitely a good time to make sure you subscribe to the PropCast here for the NBA. Enjoy the games this weekend. We'll be back like we mentioned this week. Good luck with your bets. Let's break these books off and let it ride.